Good morning. Great to see you all on this Lord's Day morning. Thanks for praying for me this week. I had a little bout of COVID again. Wasn't much of anything, thankfully. So I did test negative, so I'm not toxic. You can touch me. It's okay. But anyway, thanks for your prayers. I appreciate it very much. Just for the record, I love all things pumpkin. So, you know, pumpkin pie, pumpkin cake, pumpkin, you know. So ladies, you want to bless me? No, I'm kidding. Just one informational thing. I talked about the Voice magazine, and unbeknownst to me, we ran out of them last week, so we ordered some more. So if you'd like a copy of the Voice magazine that we talked about last week having to do with the idols of ease and comfort, just call the church office, and we can set one aside for you as soon as they get in, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to sleep. Almost 140 years ago now, August 27th, 1883, there was a volcanic explosion that rippled across the face of the earth. People as far away as Australia, some 2,000 miles away, heard this blast. It was 10,000 times more powerful than the atomic bomb that Robert Oppenheimer invented, if you've heard about that. And the blast tore apart the island of Krakatoa. 36,000 people died, and three-quarters of the island was destroyed. What's more, the entire planet, for months afterward, was experiencing dramatic sunsets, strange phenomena. It looked like the sky was on fire at times. Now, the world at that time was in the throes of what's called the Industrial Revolution. And people were becoming pretty confident in American power and potential. But when this eruption took place, they were reminded of the limits of human power and ability, and also the terrifying power of nature. For many today, that may be how the world feels right now. Besides the intense heat waves and the multitudes of wildfires, oh my goodness, Canada, Washington, Maui, of course, the devastation, and then this tropical storm in L.A. Haven't had that since 1939. How about that? But in addition, you know, the recent pandemic, mass shootings, which seem to happen almost every day now, radical cultural redefinitions of things that we just took for granted as being true, political polarization, technological threats, and disruptions. All of this has rudely shaken people's confidence in, again, what we took for granted just a short time ago. And as a result, many have become disoriented, and we realize we're not as in control as we thought we were. Thankfully, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need not fear. We need not shudder. The world may shudder, but we know that God is on his throne, and all that happens is under his sovereign control. However, on a practical, everyday level, many still live as if we're the ones calling the shots, you know? Daily decisions and plans are often made, and the Lord is not consulted, not even thought about. The Old Testament book of Proverbs has a lot to say about our plans and about his plans. And the consistent theme, the consistent teaching of these Proverbs is that our plans should always be first submitted to the Lord. Now, in case you need convincing, there are at least two main reasons for this: the tenuousness of our plans and the certainty of the Lord's plans. First of all, Proverbs has a lot to say about the tenuousness of our plans. For example, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And then finally, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. All of these suggest that as confident as we may be in our planning, ultimately there is someone else who's in control, who's calling the shots. In the New Testament, the Apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus, echoes these thoughts. He says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." Again, as much as we think of ourselves as being in control of our lives, all of these texts affirm that there is someone far greater who is really in control. But the good news is, if you know this someone through faith in Jesus Christ, then he promises to lead you and to guide you as you obey him. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. The second reason we should submit our plans first to the Lord is the certainty of the Lord's plans. Besides the text we just read, there are other texts such as these. "No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." And then finally, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." This last proverb teaches us that, the Lord's control over what happens in the universe extends down even to the casting of lots or the throwing of dice. Remember that the next time you play Yahtzee or Farkle, okay? We see a very vivid illustration of the certainty of the Lord's plans in a prayer that the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4. They said this, "Truly, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." In other words, yes, the Gentiles, the Jews, they conspired together to have Jesus put to death, and they were responsible, fully responsible for those decisions. But all of it happened in accord with the Lord's plan. He's the one that ultimately is in control. Likewise, when we make plans, when we make choices in our lives, we are fully responsible for those plans and those choices. Don't think because the Lord's in control that somehow that gets you out of it. "Oh, I couldn't help it. The Lord determined it." No, the Bible doesn't endorse that viewpoint. That's heresy. You are fully responsible. The Bible presents both truths equally. But ultimately, as all these texts testify, the Lord's will prevail. For that reason alone, we should endeavor to submit our plans and our choices to the Lord before we act on them, right? So that we can be sure that they are in conformity with his will and that they have his blessing, right? Don't you want God's blessing on the things that you decide to do? Of course you do. You should anyway. So how? How do we do this? How do we know? How do we discern? What is the right plan? It's an interesting proverb, Proverbs 11:22, that says, "Like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion." What a mental image that is. I thought I'd try to help you out with that mental image a little bit. Yeah, not a very pleasant one. And you know, that's true for everyone, not just beautiful women. If we don't have discretion, if we don't have godly discernment, we're not much better than this, really, from God's perspective. So how do we discern this plan? There's a lot of things I can share. I'm going to try to base them mostly on Proverbs. But the first one is something we've already said, and that is submit your plans first to the Lord in humility. In humility, recognizing that you're not the one in control. You're not the master of your soul, the captain of your destiny, as the famous poem goes. One of the most beloved and well-known passages in Proverbs, it's one of my wife's favorite passages, and probably yours too, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hopefully you know it by heart, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, it doesn't mean don't use your brain, okay? Some people interpret it that way. That's not what it means. It says don't lean on it. Don't depend on your own understanding of things. Yes, use your brain. Do analyses. We'll see that soon. But don't depend on that. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will establish your paths. And then commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Now, all of this assumes that you're already submitted to God's revealed will in Scripture. And in fact, 99%, maybe 99.9% even, of what you need to know to please God, to do His will, is already revealed. Did you know that? 99.9% of it is already revealed in the Word. And the other 0.1%, God will direct you. God will guide you. He promises to do that. Elizabeth Elliot, many of you have heard of her, was widowed after only 2 years of marriage to Jim Elliot, who was one of five men martyred in the Ecuadorian jungles by the Aka Indians in 1956. Many of you have heard of that story and read about it and seen it illustrated. In fact, we had Nate Saint's son, Steve, here a couple of times in our services in the past few years. Years later, she admitted that early in her Christian life, she had a somewhat unbiblical view of discerning God's will. She believed that God's will was so minutely specific, like a dot that you had to hit from 1,000 yards, that even an earnest seeker of God's will, such as herself, might miss it. Might miss it, because it was that specific, that narrow. Instead, over time, she came to recognize that the Lord's guidance in our lives is first and foremost intended to help us grow in our knowledge of Him. And that because He is the Good Shepherd, so to speak, or not so to speak, as Scripture reveals Him to be, He is our Good Shepherd, He can be trusted to not let us wander off, that He will grab a hold of us, and He will even carry us in His arms if we sincerely are seeking His will in our lives. By the way, if you're interested, there's a brand new biography available about Elizabeth Elliot's life called Elizabeth Elliot, A Life. And it's on my Amazon wish list. I'm hoping my kids will get it for me for my birthday. Second way that we discern God's plan for our lives is seek godly advice. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, Solomon says, but a wise man listens to advice. And where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. This is especially true for the believer in Christ. That's why we have the body of Christ. The body of Christ exists to come alongside of other believers, to help them, to counsel them, to pray with them. And we should always seek out the counsel of mature Christian believers, especially when we were about to make potentially life-altering decisions. Number three, be careful to whom you listen. I saw a survey recently that said that 60% of young people will endure an average of 8 warning lights before they take their vehicle in to be checked. And they'll endure 5 breakdowns of their car before they're considering buying a new car. Now, I know cars are more expensive now. I understand that. But, you know, when you see those lights, they're there for a reason, right? They're saying, hello, something wrong with your car, right? Pay attention. Likewise, Proverbs admonishes us, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. If you listen, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. To whom are you listening? And what is the source of their wisdom? TikTok? Where are they getting their information from? What are the people who know you best and who love you most, what are they telling you? Maybe you should listen to that, right? Or do you choose to ignore that, like you do maybe a check engine light? Number four, take your time. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And you know, we want to fulfill our desires, right? We have an itch, we have an urge, we have a desire, we have a desire to fulfill a dream, and we act sometimes prematurely. We act before we have all the facts. But Solomon warns us, desire without knowledge is not good. And whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Do your research. Educate yourself before you embark on a major decision. Seek counsel. Seek godly counsel. Be careful who you listen to. And if possible, take a test drive. Proverbs says, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Now, there are times, I know, I've experienced them, when after all our research, all our investigation, all our prayer, all our talking to godly people, we still have 2 or 3 or more good choices, right? And we're like, Lord, which one do I choose, you know? And my answer is, pick one. Just pick one. God has determined and told us he will guide and direct our steps. Just pick one. I remember years and years ago, even before I got married, I was contemplating, you know, what seminary should I go to? And I was looking at all these different seminaries, and they all had pros and cons. And finally, my sister-in-law, God bless her, said, which one do you want to go to? And I said, well, I really want to go to Dallas. Then go! And we did. I mean, it wasn't that complicated, but I was kind of like Elizabeth Elliot. You know, I got to find that dot, got to find that sweet spot, got to find that exact thing that God has, or otherwise I'll be totally out of God's will. Oh, that's baloney. It's not true. That kind of thinking is not from the Lord. So don't, please, if you're there right now, don't remain in a state of paralysis thinking, oh, if I make this choice and it's not God's choice, I'm going to mess up my life. No. That is not biblical thinking. That is not biblical wisdom. Trust in the Lord's sovereignty. Trust in his goodness. Trust him even when you do make a mistake. God is bigger than your mistakes, okay? Yes, blatant sin has consequences, no question about it. And some of those consequences cannot be undone. But generally, God has an amazing way of working even through our mistakes. Less than 3 months ago, Pastor Chad Fryer and his son and his 2 daughters were crossing Union Pacific Railroad tracks near Bismarck, Arkansas. There were no lights, no crossing gates, and a train hit the passenger side of his 2017 Silverado and pushed it for almost half a mile before they both came to a stop. Chad and his son were critically injured, but his two daughters were killed. His wife was not with them. Now we might ask, didn't he see the train coming? I mean, it was the middle of the afternoon. Did the truck stall out on the tracks? Or was he trying to race to get ahead of the train before it passed? We don't know. But a fellow pastor of the same church said this. He said, just trust that God has bigger plans, things that we cannot see yet. I'm going to trust that he's got this. And isn't that what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is saying? Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. God has got this. And again, there may be times when we make unwise, foolish, even dangerous choices. There may be times when, through no fault of our own, things don't go the way we planned or hoped. We must come back to the truth. God's got this. He's got this. He's greater than those choices. He's greater than those consequences. Some of you here know Kevin Rissler's brother, Quentin, who is a pastor here in town. This past spring, just as he and his wife were beginning a short sabbatical, doctors discovered a cancerous mass on his brain. And shortly thereafter, he suffered a stroke that left him somewhat debilitated. Nevertheless, with some difficulty and the doctor's permission, they were able to take a long-awaited vacation to the Canadian Rockies, as pictured here in this photo. But shortly thereafter, his health deteriorated again due to the pressure that the tumor was exerting on his brain. Well, thankfully, this past week, after a second major brain surgery, doctors and surgeons at Johns Hopkins were able to remove almost all of the tumor. He still has a very long road to recovery. But it has been a blessing for me personally to read the almost daily CaringBridge posts of his wife, Darlene. 10 days ago, on August 10th, she wrote this, "Sometimes it makes no sense how I can feel peace with our family circumstances. But tonight is one of those times when I just know God has things in his hands. God's got this. We are still very much in a storm with more unknowns than I even want to dwell on. But I've seen God working, and it gives me strength to hold on to him for the tomorrows. He's the one I'm clinging to." If you think about it, pray for Quentin and Darlene. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of life-threatening illnesses, in the midst of frustrated plans or broken dreams, we need to come back to the certainty of God's plans for our lives. We need to trust that he's got this, and that though we may not understand his ways, we believe that he has a purpose and a plan that cannot be frustrated. As the good shepherd, he will surely lead and guide us as we acknowledge him in all our ways. Do you believe that? No, really. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, what are we doing here? What's the point? If we don't believe that we have a heavenly Father who's got this, who has our lives in his hands, who knows what we need, who loves us more than we can imagine. Yes, hard things happen. Many of you can testify to that. But we must believe that God has got this. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself praying Like that father in the Gospels who had a demon-possessed son, and he came to Jesus to ask Jesus to heal his son. He said to Jesus, "If you can, heal my son." And Jesus said, "If I can." And of course, everything's possible to those who believe. And the father's response was, "Lord, help my unbelief." And I find myself sometimes praying that. You know, it's okay to be honest with God, right? He won't zap you, okay? You can be honest with God. "Lord, this is hard. This is really, really, really hard right now. Lord, help my unbelief. Help my doubts, my struggles with this situation." Because you know what? In the end, who else are you going to turn to? Who else has got this in their hands? Amen?